This is an ABC podcast.
Be part of Roots and Shoots After Nine. Only on 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA. Roots and Shoots Gardening on 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
That was a double whammy, Roots and Shoots.
It's like, if you didn't know
what's about to happen,
this is Roots and Shoots. Although things are getting really hot downstairs, Amber.
They are, aren't they? Yeah, big day of books. It's very exciting.
Big day of books.
I might have to scurry down there after the show. I'm excited about it.
Have a little hello.
Hey, Corridors for Cockies.
Yeah.
Wonderful initiative launched last week, was
it? Yes, last week, with funding that had to come from overseas because our state government are not interested in saving our Carnaby or Borden cockatoos from extinction. So we had to go elsewhere, knock on someone else's door, Amber.
On somebody else's bank account.
So,
but we can all help.
Now, this is the thing. I know that everyone, including myself and yourself, is going to be absolutely traumatized by the fact that bird flu has arrived on our shores. So a lot of us are going, all our beautiful mammals, all our beautiful birds. Now, what I want people to know that there is stuff that we can do as individuals, okay? So I know there's all sorts of things happening in the world, and we seem to have the rise of the Fourth Reich with world leaders, but there is something that we can do. So the Corridors for Carnabies was launched last Wednesday, and it is such a fantastic opportunity for all of us to do something to save a species from extinction. It's not coming from government. It's coming from you and me and schools and public grounds. So my role in this whole thing is to actually work with schools and community gardens and public open spaces. We want schools to come on board and plant Banksia trees, macadamia trees, pecan trees, almond trees, whatever nut trees they can put in, because these are going to produce food faster than what our Banksias are. So it's basically a little stopgap until the Banksias all come on board. So I'm imploring. If there are schools that are interested in coming on this program, if you go for the Corridors for Carnabies with an S .com, log in there, join the flock. There's a thing you can do to join the flock. If you believe that your school would like to be involved in this fabulous program and give the next generation hope and inspiration for changing the world that we have now, come on board. I visit the schools. I look at the places. We have the most wonderful grower of Banksias. We're importing nut trees. I will come to the school. I'll be part of the program in your school. And let's get cracking and show that as a wonderful human species, we can change what's going on at the moment.
I'd offer to come too, but I don't know if I play that well with 7-year-olds. I don't think that. Who's that lady?
You would play beautifully with 7-year-olds.
Hey, Zach's mum's on the phone. Oh. Well, Zach and his mum, Jill. Hi, Zach. Have you got an avocado tree that you grew?
Yeah.
That is awesome.
We're looking at a photograph of you too. Is that you in your pyjamas?
Yeah.
Zach, you look like a little gardener. Tell us what you've got in your garden.
I've got carrots, tomatoes, avocado tree, snow pea, vine, and catgrass.
Oh, my goodness, Zach, you are an absolute little green legend. And I think your mum said that you grew an avocado seed from a seed.
Yeah, and we also have a banana tree.
Oh, my goodness, I love bananas. So are the bananas in your built-up because you've got raised garden beds there?
We don't have bananas on the tree yet.
No.
They're in a different garden bed.
Oh, okay, yep. Well, that's great, Zach, because you will get bananas within 2 years, which is pretty exciting.
Hey, Zach, cool. Your school could sign on to help the Carnaby's cockatoos. Maybe your mum could have a chat to the school registrar about that.
Absolutely.
Oh, yay.
Yay!
Yeah. It'll be, and they are the most magnificent birds, Zach.
And that means you get a visit from Sabrina if the school signs up. I'll even come along, Zach, if you want.
Sounds good.
Oh, it sounds good.
Oh, you darling boy. Did you need some advice or some help from Sabrina?
Yeah.
We just need to know what to do with it next because it's in the little garden bed.
Yeah.
We just know what to do with it next to keep it growing.
The avocado tree.
Ah, that is awesome. So, Zach, what you have to do is I don't want you to move it yet. I want you to keep it in your little garden bed until spring because they don't really like being moved around too much in the winter time. So if you can keep it growing nicely until September, then what you can do is you can dig it up ever so carefully and I want you to put it in a pot and grow it in a pot for another year. And then if you want, you can keep it in a pot for the next 10 years or you could put it in your garden. And avocados prefer a spot that's protected from the hot wind and a little bit of shade in the afternoon.
Okay, sounds perfect.
How does that sound?
Good.
And I am so proud of you, Zach. I'm looking at your little garden. It's absolutely beautiful. And I always get so excited when I know that kids are in the garden.
It's beautiful. Zach and Jill, thanks for calling.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, Zach. Bye, Zach's mum.
You can ask Sabrina a question. We've got a couple of lines free. 1300 221 0025 is the number you need to call. Dawn is near Esperance. Dawn, you're part of the world in the spotlight today.
Yes, at Gibson. Mm. Sabrina, I've got Cecil Brunner roses about 20 years old on my front fence.
Yeah.
And two of them look like they're dying.
Oh.
I'm really, really, really upset. Oh. But I've checked them all out. There's no bugs or anything on them. But do you think if I cut them down by half or so, I tried to send a text, I'm useless at that.
Join the club.
I might be able to save them.
Yes. Now, that is a really, I think that's the way to go, is yep. Give them a hard prune. Now, the other thing is, Dawn, if you are pruning it, I want you to take some of the cuttings and grow them on. So okay. The cuttings, so the best ones, the size is about the diameter of your finger. Of yep. Your, what do you call this finger, Amber?
Pointy finger.
The pointy index. Finger. Index yep. Finger. The pointy index finger. If you can take maybe 10 cuttings, pot them up in individual pots just as, insurance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So okay. So prune them back pretty hard. It's highly likely they will come back. So,
Beautiful.
That's the best defense okay. Method there.
Good luck with that, and Dawn.
At,
yep.
And at Gibson, we have hundreds of black cockatoos coming.
That fills my heart with joy.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Oh.
Thanks, girls.
Thanks,
thank you.
Dawn.
Thanks, Dawn. A couple of questions around corridors for Carnaby's. Mm. Heather asks, is the corridor for Carnaby's for anyone in Perth metro area or just a specific part/particular suburbs?
Anyone can
be part of that?
Anyone, any suburb. I've got a school down, I go from down Mandurah right up to the northern suburbs. So it doesn't matter where you are, it's the intent. And you also remember some schools won't be able to put in banksias perhaps because the grounds are irrigated and the soil has been improved, all the things that Banksias hate. But you might be able to put in pecans, macadamias or almond trees. So just because you may not be able to grow Banksias doesn't mean to say you can't be part of the program.
So I guess that follows through for Dunsborough as well. That was another question.
Yep.
And Dee sends through this question every week. So maybe she's listening now. She says, what is this plant that I got for Mother's Day?
Oh, Dee, we did answer that. That is one of my favourite. I lust after these plants because you can only grow them in Perth for like 5 minutes.
Is it begonia?
Yeah, tuberous. Ooh. Tuberous begonias. Now, tuberous begonias die down to nothing.
Yeah.
Over winter, or in my case, they die down to nothing after about 6 weeks. As soon as summer hits.
Okay.
I have the same talent with Banksias, actually. Okay. I kill them as well.
Yeah.
So tuberous begonias. Now, there is a reason why they have the begonia festival in the highlands in New South Wales. So they don't like the heat.
Strangely
enough. So tuberous begonias, treasure it. It probably won't resurrect itself.
In fact, it's given that you got it for Mother's Day, it might be on its way out already.
Well, you can't look. If you've managed to get one to grow and come through the next year, take cuttings because they actually only like they're more biennial. They're more of a biennial. So you're only going to get 2 years out of them. Too small to take cuttings in the first year. So if you manage to keep them alive to the second year, then take cuttings.
Okay. All right. Good advice. Kate is in Greenwood. Hello, Kate. What's going on with you? Citrus.
Good morning. Long time listener. Oh, first time caller.
Oh, Kate. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm sorry to start off with a lemon tree question.
That's all right. We forgive.
A 55-year-old lemon tree that supplies the neighbourhood, but it's got gall wasp all throughout it.
No.
When should I prune it?
Okay, so if inspect every single gall. If the galls have holes in them, the wasp has already buggered off. So no point in cutting them out because the wasp won't use the same gall you like when a new wasp comes along. So the big target time is spring. So the gall wasps will be out and about laying their eggs in your citrus tree in spring. And that's when you have to cut the galls out. Any of the galls that have gone with the hole in it, you may as well leave them on the tree. Because there's nothing in there. So you really have to be vigilant in spring, and as soon as you see any swelling, you cut it off before the eggs turn into the larvae.
Mm-hmm. How hard can you prune it?
Your tree is quite old, but I would suggest that you don't prune more than 50% off it.
Okay, in spring.
No, you can prune your – well, if you want to prune your tree now, you can. Mm-hmm. But remember, if you prune heavily in spring when summer comes, the bark will get burnt on your tree.
Okay, so maybe give it a good prune.
I'd give it a really good hard prune now so that when you get the new growth, you'll be able to see – where the galls are happening, and as soon as you see that swelling, Kate, cut it off.
Okay.
Because they love new growth. So if you prune now, you'll get new growth hopefully before spring and it won't be as susceptible.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kate.
Good luck with that, Kate. And I'll just give out that website, Corridors for Carnabies, all one word, Corridors for Carnabies, and Corridors is CORRIDORSFORCARNABYS.com is the initiative. Nola raises a good point.
Yes.
She says nut trees in school, don't think so, not even allowed peanut butter sandwiches.
I know. So this is the thing, and that's why I say, I've said all the way along, you've got almonds, the pecans and macadamia nuts. Now, if a child could crack a macadamia nut with their teeth, That's They'd need to have come from Dracula's lineage.
Vampire? I don't know.
I know. This is the issue. So
what about Banksias, though? They can plant the Banksias.
They can certainly plant Banksias. Yeah.
And so while that might be a slower road to feeding, it is still going to form part of a corridor for carnivores in that it will grow. So there's plenty of options there. And Sabrina is asking that schools sign up. So if you know of anyone in a school that you can get in touch with, like if you are in possession of a child at school, perhaps you can pop up to the school and say,
and that child's with you willingly. Not that you've just grabbed one.
Yeah, don't do that. Inadvisable. Yeah. You get reported to the police. All kinds of bad things happen then. Rod is in Safety Bay. Rod, what ails your garden?
Oh, nothing. Our house is old, built in the 70s, and in the backyard is a huge, what I've read up about is a Cape Myrtle.
Cape lilac. Cape lilac. Anyway, yeah, the cockies would be into that.
They absolutely love it. The first year we were here, we couldn't believe it. They completely strip every berry that's on it.
Yep.
And they love it. We could have 20 here.
Yeah. Now, the reason that the cockies have gone to the Cape lilac tree is because all their other food trees were taken out. So they are going to all sorts of, I mean, they even come to liquid amber trees and there's no nutrition in that at all. But it's because they reached a point of starvation. Yeah. And the protein in the Cape lilac tree, and let's not forget they're a tropical tree from all the top end of Australia. So they would have been here, you know, millions of years ago. So they've learnt to eat those. But really, the Banksias are their main food source. But they love Cape lilacs.
It is true that it's a because I sort of read that it was from Broome, and I'm thinking a deciduous tree from the tropics.
Yeah, it's our only deciduous tree, and it's all through, Indonesia, all the top end of Australia. Yeah.
It's a beautiful tree.
I love them. I'm so pleased you're saying that, Rod.
It does get those
hate
things.
Caterpillars.
It does get those things, yes. And I have, over the last 5 years, I've controlled them because they were coming in the house.
Yeah, they do. They quite like to have a nice, they like furniture arrangements, so they pop
and they
in.
They make a mess all over the place.
I know, they do.
Rod, good on you for having a tree
feeds
the cockies. Thanks for calling. 1300 221 0025 is the number you need to call. Kaz is in Australind. Hello, Kaz.
Kaz is out the garden with a shovel in her hand.
No, you're in my pocket, but I'm with you now. Sabrina, a couple of months ago, you advised that I could dig up a crepe myrtle tree to shift it because we're building a shed.
Yeah.
So this is about a 4.5-5 metre crepe myrtle.
Yeah.
What do I have to do to dig it up and transplant it?
Okay. Trim it? Now, the thing is they transplant really, really well, Kaz. So there's no problem there. Take a third off. Maybe prune out some of the internal branches. Mm-hmm. But they transplant really well. Great time of the year to do it now.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And the other question I've got, thank you, is about these almond trees.
Yep.
I've been to nurseries asking questions which ones to get.
Yep.
Yesterday they talked about soft shell and then medium shell.
Yep.
Which ones am I going for?
Okay, if you want the cockies, you need to go for the medium shell, but depending on which one it is, I know the hard shell ones need a pollinator. The soft shell ones are self-pollinating. It depends what the medium shell ones are, so you need to ask the nursery if that particular almond needs a pollinator.
Right, yep, easy.
Yep.
I think they did say that yesterday, that the mediums do need a pollinator.
Yeah, they usually do. The medium and hard nut ones need a pollinator. And there's a nursery now working on double graft where they've got the soft shell and the hard shell on the one tree.
Ah,
yeah.
Okay, so how do I find them?
Well, they haven't come here yet. They're being grafted, but they haven't arrived in WA yet, and they have to go through quarantine and stuff.
Ah, beautiful. Mm. Alrighty, that's great.
Okay, thanks Kaz.
Kim from Melbourne has said, "No, Sabrina, stop cutting gall. Mm. As a Melbourne gardener, I have been fighting gall for years. Stop cutting it out and spray it with kaolin clay. It works. Yep. No more cutting, please. The kaolin helps prevent Queensland fruit fly," says Kim in Melbourne.
I've just read all the latest stuff from CSIRO, who are working on the gall wasp. They have had some success with the kaolin clay. They're now working on adding something else to the clay, which helps it stick to the gall better. In Melbourne, and I doubt very much if kaolin clay helps with Queensland fruit fly, because the fruit fly go to the fruit, not to the wood on the tree. So it's going to do diddly squat for fruit fly. Now, the thing is, the climate difference between Melbourne and Perth is quite enormous. Mm. So our citrus trees get new shoots all the time because we have a warmer climate. I would not just rely on kaolin clay, but definitely try it. But at this point in time, the only sure way of getting rid of the galls is to actually cut them out in their very early stages of development.
And stay on it. Shirl is in Scarborough. Hi, Shirl. What's your question for Sabrina?
Hello, Shirl. Oh, Shirl's walked away from the phone, perhaps, and gone out to pick her pomegranates.
Oh, no.
Here we are.
I'm here. Sorry. I'm not in Scarborough, I'm in Coobala.
Oh, sorry, that's my mistake.
That's all right.
That's all right.
Shirls. Okay.
Yeah. Look, hello, ladies. Look, I've got two pomegranates. One is a wonderful and the other one is a Galocha Resevere.
Yeah.
Now, I've had ongoing challenges with the fruit. The aerials are very hard and I give them a reasonable amount of water. They do get good nutrition throughout their growing cycle. But I'm starting to wonder if it is a water issue. Can you just give some wisdom there, Sabrina, please?
Look, they do actually perform better if they are irrigated. I know that they can grow in really I've seen them in Morocco on the edge of the desert and they grow. Mm. But the pomegranates are very small and hardly any juice in them. So if you do water them, you get much better fruit. I had the wonderful variety and I got, well, not myself personally. So my rats fed so supremely well on my wonderful pomegranates and they were huge. They were the size of grapefruits. They were sweet. They were beautiful. And the rats just ate every single one for 15 years and so I took it out.
Look, I am having a bit of that problem, but at the moment it's more that I'm concerned about the aerials being just hard.
Last year,
even after the incredible rain we had last year, I was hoping for a really good harvest this year in terms of improved aerials and it just didn't make any difference at all.
You know, the thing is that we forget about, Shirl, is unless we use wetting agents about every 6 weeks, even that rainfall, if you dig with a little hand trowel, it won't penetrate more than about a centimetre into the soil. We have to use wetting agents all the time.
Yeah. Okay. All
but, right. Yeah, well, definitely water. Mine was under irrigation twice a week and I had the rats had beautiful pomegranates to feed on.
Beautiful. All thanks, right. Shirl. Hamish is listening. Hamish is our friend.
Yes.
Good morning, Sabrina. My autistic son Hamish would like to set up a veggie garden for a homeschool project at our home in Kalgoorlie. Do you have any advice for the best time of year to do this?
Oh,
Hamish, there you go.
Hamish, you wonderful man. Okay, now Kalgoorlie, even though it doesn't get frosts like it used to when I lived there, I wouldn't set it up in winter. And because you want your son to actually be really excited and have great success right from the word go, I would definitely set it up in spring. Now, in Cal, it's still cold in September, so I'd wait. So do all your bed prep in September, and then start putting all your veggies in at the end of September, and you're spoilt for choice. But remember, it's still cold, so I don't want you putting in tomatoes, chilies, watermelon or rock melon or capsicum at this in September. I want you to wait until the end of October, and then you can put all those in. But all the leafy greens, nice, you can put in, and broccoli and stuff like that you can put in.
Kale seems to be a fairly easy thing to grow. Is that right? Just like goes off like a
disgusting frog. I cannot believe people eat kale. It's pig food.
I thought she was. She had what I mistook for an ecstatic look on her face. It was actually disgust. Those two things are quite.
You know, even
Hamish is listening intently. Oh, says happy.
Oh, Hamish.
So Hamish, hopefully that helps. Hold off on those. They're not solanums. What are they?
Yeah, Solanaceae family.
Solanaceae family.
And you know, the only reason you ever put kale in a garden is you use it as a catch crop.
War is coming.
Oh. Yeah. So kale will attract every sap sucking insect to it, because apparently they like it. So you get all the insects going to your kale, and then if you have to spray, you just spray the kale because you don't want to eat it anyway, and it keeps them away from all your other veggies that you
this
want to eat.
This is very sound advice from the Harnster. Now, Margaret is in the bus. Hello, Margaret. What's your question for Sab?
It's all about shifting, the possibility of shifting a locust tree. Ooh. Picture this. It's
yep.
about 40 years old. It's only about not much higher than the ceiling of a room.
Wow.
It's in shade, sandy soil. I wouldn't have had a half a bucket of locusts off it all the years it's been in there. And it's now in a spot where it shouldn't be. So, you know, what's the chance of putting it into some sun, and what are its root systems like?
Root system's not bad, actually. And do you know what? I would give it a crack. Margaret, I want you to give it a go. Now, locusts can be really hard pruned, okay? So you can hard prune it. And do you know anyone with a digger, or have you got like a rugby league team?
We've got a backhoe and a bobcat. Yeah.
You don't need anything else. You've got it all. I reckon you've got, I'm going to give you, because you sound passionate about it and you love it, I'm going to give you a 70% chance of survival. Well, not you, but your tree.
Well,
hopefully you've got
Sabrina,
more. Yeah.
Sabrina, considering the production we've had over about 40 years, I don't think it's going to be a great disaster.
One would ask, why are you bothering?
No, because she loves the tree. Doesn't Aww. Matter that it doesn't give you fruit. Might have sentimental reasons. No, good on you. I love that. I love your attitude, Margaret.
Yes.
I want you to prune it by 50%, dig it up, move us. But even more importantly, Margaret, I want you to ring us in 3 months' time when it reshoots new roots and all the top of it, and let me know whether the 70% chance of survival was the correct assumption.
Okay,
yeah, do
I'll
let
do
us
that.
Know.
Thanks, Sabrina.
Thanks, Margaret.
Thanks, Margaret. Now, our newest member of the Roots and Shoots family.
We've got another baby.
This is Sophie. We've heard from Sophie last week.
Oh,
Sophie's
we did.
Mum was listening to the podcast while she was in hospital. So speaking of almonds, for the Garden Bogwitch aunties,
yes.
Sophie and the Fritz almond, her placenta was planted underneath from Alicia in Lloyd Chittering.
That is so beautiful.
Look at her. She's thriving.
She is a gorgeous little bundle
She's
of joy.
Rose. Baby, on. You
we know, love I'm babies here. Our these bog witches here love babies.
It's I know.
So
I think I just started lactating again. Ovaries.
Ah, dear, the ovaries
Emily,
are pumping.
Could you change the subject, please? In Port Augusta. Hello, Emily.
Port Augusta. Hello, Emily.
Hello. Well, that's why often sometimes I have to drive 40 minutes to the kindy out at Corn through the Pitchy Richie Pass.
Oh, wow.
It's the Flinders Ranges.
Yeah, yeah.
So often if I'm leaving kindy late, I'll put you guys on because ABC doesn't drop out.
Oh, yes.
I listen to your podcast and it keeps me awake through that. Yeah.
You are a darling.
I'm glad it doesn't put you to sleep.
Not while you're driving.
There's no danger of that, really, is there? It's quite, we're quite loud.
Oh, yeah, it's a bit raucous here.
Yes.
What can we do for you, Emily?
So the kindy, and by the way, Port Augusta, home of the Australian Arid Lands Botanic Garden.
Yes, it is the most.
Almost every weekend.
Yeah. Wow. That is, I don't know if people have not even thought about going to that garden. It is the most remarkable botanic garden we have in Australia, I reckon.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I just love wandering around, and when I have time, I volunteer as a tour guide, and just when I go there, I will just randomly talk to people and say, oh, did you know this is this? Or, oh, you could eat that berry there.
That's awesome.
She's been educated by Sabrina Hahn.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But on the topic of eating, yes. So working at the kindy, we've got an empty garden bed at the minute that I should one day put some veggies in with the kids. It has these little mushroom things that pop up.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Like exploring. They look a bit like peppercorn. They looked a bit like, I thought first, mouldy peppercorn.
Yeah.
But it's actually mushrooms.
It's fungi.
Yeah. Can I just dig that under?
Yes, dig it in the soil. So it's best with any mushroom not to let the kids sort of see them, really, because they're always curious. So just dig it in. It's part of the whole biology of the soil, Emily, and it means that you've got really healthy soil. So just dig those little – so just dig those little mushies in.
Oh, excellent. Thank you. I'll tell my kindy director.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
And good on you for working with the kids and also at that magnificent botanic garden as a volunteer.
Yeah, that's just like a lot of points on the good person chart. I feel like I haven't got many. Emily, thanks for calling in from Port Augusta in South Australia. I was about to say South Africa.
Do you know the next Australian of the year? Are they raising funds for those in need? Or building a brighter future? Conducting research? Or inspiring future astronauts? See them, hear them, nominate them at australianoftheyear.org.au.
It is that time again.
It is.
Sabrina's musical pick of the week. Pick of the week.
I know you're going to dig this.
Here we go now.
Known for her encyclopedic knowledge of botany, lesser known for her bangers. Nonetheless, she digs them up every week.
I do. Well, I heard you play Metallica. Yeah. Anyway, so I thought, well, if it's good enough for Amber.
Have we got Metallica?
No, we're going punk.
Oh.
So I'm going back to my roots. Nadia did make the comment that last week's song was lame. So I thought, time to look back to my roots.
How very dare.
So we're going to a bit of punk rock, which is Sham 69. Now, I remember screaming this.
Is this new or old?
It's old.
No, it's old. Oh, okay.
Is it 1970s? So do you remember a song called If the Kids Are United, We'll Never Be Divided?
I don't remember it.
Oh, I remember screaming that at nightclubs.
I'm 10 years younger than you.
Yeah, this is 70s.
I didn't mean to remind you, but.
No, that's quite all right. Anyway, bang on, people. Bang on.
Nola just said her budgie went off. What does that mean, Nola? Is it a dance? Is it a shout? I want to know. That was Sab's pick of the week.
Do you know the next Australian of the year? Are they raising funds for those in need? Or building a brighter future? Conducting research? Or inspiring future astronauts? See them, hear them, nominate them at australianoftheyear.org.au.
Ah, it's Roots and Shoots with Sabrina and Amber. Sorry, we were having a bit of a moment in the studio.
We were going off.
We were going off. Sandra is in Duncraig with a crepe myrtle. Things happen, don't they? You've got your crepe myrtles and your Cape lilacs this morning.
Yep. We're all over it.
Sandra, how are you going?
Yeah, good, thank you.
What can we do for you, Sandra?
Yeah, I've got two crepe myrtle diamonds in the dark that have been in the ground for a couple of years.
Yep.
But they haven't grown much. They're probably a metre tall, maybe.
Yeah.
And they've got plenty of water. We're reticulated. They've got about half a day in the sun.
Yep.
The soil is very sandy, but we've put everything that you can think of onto our garden.
Yeah.
In fertilizers and all that.
Yeah.
So I want to transplant them and see if that would help.
Now, Sandra, I actually think diamond in the dark is a dud for Perth. I have seen what they look like at the end of their even second summer. And I don't know if it's because of the rootstock they're grown on. I think if you lived in the Perth Hills or you were down south, you would get much better bang for your buck. But I can honestly say, and now we'll get 15,000 people ringing up saying, my diamonds in the dark is thriving and I live in Esperance. I would dig it up. And I would keep them in a pot for the next 4 years and then transplant them out.
Oh, okay.
You need to have them in an afternoon shaded position.
All right. Okay. Will do.
So give that a crack.
All right. I will. Thank you very much. Hopefully they might grow.
Yeah. Sorry, Sandra.
Thank you, Sandra.
Thank you.
Bye. John is in Busso. Hi, John. What can Sab do for you? I will do nothing, I can assure you.
Good morning, ladies. And it's nice to have a bit of punk on the ABC.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. How good is it?
Great. We've got a 20-year-old mock top robinia, which has been in the lawn. It's a lovely shade tree, but we're getting dozens and dozens of suckers, and I know why it's called black locust.
Yeah.
So I want to get rid of it, and I know I'm going to be pulling suckers out for the next 5 years, but just want to know, what's the best way? Is it cut, stump, notching, digging it out, or painting suckers, or all of the above?
All of the above for you, John, because it's persistence, okay? So you have to cut, chop, paint, spray, dig for 10 years, and then you'll finally get rid of it.
Something to look forward to then. Any suggestions on a nice shade tree for the lawn, about the same size? Anything?
So you want something with a dense canopy?
Yes.
There's Bohinia purpurea, Bohinia alba. There's all the crepe myrtles, of course, which do well in Busselton. I would look at the – I love bohinias, and we don't seem to have enough of them. Like, people don't plant them. And they're a beautiful deciduous tree. They call it the Hong Kong orchid tree, if you want to check it out.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for that.
Okay. Thanks, John.
Oh, they're very pretty. I just Googled it. Steve is in Preverley, which is where everyone would like to be. Isn't it, Steve?
Good morning.
Morning, yes. Steve.
To hold onto the side of the bed during that bang fallout.
Didn't it take you back to your young and wild days, hey, Steve?
I can't remember that far back, I don't think.
This poem from Spike Milligan, through every nook and every cranny, the wind blew in on poor old granny. It's a bit like that.
That was like a hurricane blowing through poor old granny. Anyway, Steve,
what's going on with your turmeric? I'm impressed.
I was complaining to my friend because it's gone up to $99 a kilo.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. She sent me some plants. It's got a stem about a foot long, maybe with looks like a leek, and then a bit of rhizome on the bottom.
Okay. Yep.
What do I do? What sort of pot? What sort of soil?
Okay. Turmeric likes free draining but rich soil, all right? So you need – to get it going really gangbusters, I would grow it in one of those polystyrene veggie boxes.
Ooh.
With holes plugged in the bottom, and then you can put a little bit of vermiculite on the bottom so it drains freely, or put the polystyrene box that you've plugged holes – that you've punched holes in on a couple of bricks. It drains. Then get good quality potting mix. So you want 2/3 good quality potting mix, 1/3 compost.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
So
how deep do I plant the rhizomes?
The rhizomes. So is it in a pot at present that
no,
you've got in?
It's cuttings. It's a plastic bag.
Okay. All right. So you want the actual rhizome itself about 3 centimetres below the soil level.
Right. And how many should I plant in one of those? Because they spread out.
They take a little while to spread out. So I wouldn't put any more than 3 rhizomes per box.
Per box. Yeah. Okay. Lovely.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, well done, Steve.
Anthony is in Forestdale. Hello, Anthony.
Oh, good morning, ladies. How are you?
You're very well, Anthony. What can we do for you?
I've got a little bandicoot problem at home.
Mm-hmm.
So basically they're excavating the backyard. There's about an 18-hole golf course in the space of about an hour. If I come out in the morning, it's about a double 18-hole golf course.
Aww.
They're not small holes either. They're, you'd probably fit a chihuahua in the hole.
Which is probably the only good use for a chihuahua, really, bandicoot holes.
Yes, indeed. So I'm not too sure. I don't mind being in the backyard, but the excavation's getting a bit serious.
So now you're in Forestdale. So has there been any land clearing around you? Because quite often they'll move when all their food source has been removed from them.
Okay. Right. I'm on the lake side of Armidale Road. There's all the houses that are going on the opposite side.
Right.
Maybe that's it.
Because they can actually travel a fair way. So if they're putting that many holes in your lawn, it's because there's family groups have come from one place into another, because the place they were in, there's no food source left. So what you can do about it is plant a whole new forest, Anthony. And they only have to starve to death for 10 years until something grows. This is a problem with offsets. You know, they say, oh, no, we've put an offset in, but the animals have to starve to death for 10 years until something grows. But I won't bang on about that. Let's get to your problem, Anthony. All righty. So what you can do is, because they love the root system of native plants, if you could do it's going to be like a green moat, so a barrier. You're going to plant lots of native plants in a strip somewhere in where they're all digging, to give them an alternative source of food to eat rather than the roots of your lawn. So is there somewhere where you could put, and that, you know, they just need to be small shrubs. They're just like, you know, nothing more than 30, 40 centimetres high. Okay. And also grasses, you know, like Dianella, things like that, that have like little rhizomes. Is there anywhere in your place you could do that?
There's not a lot of room. Like, it's not a very big backyard. The whole block is about 800 square metre, but the backyard is a lot smaller.
Okay.
I did notice they seem to be excavating around the sprinkler surrounds.
Oh, so they're after moisture in the root system that they like to eat.
I'm not sure. There's these little, I don't know what they are. They're like leeches, but not leeches, that come through. And I always find them around the sprinklers. I don't know if they're after those, but they also pick the side of a bit of a path from the house to the garage.
Uh-huh.
And they excavate all the way down the side of this path that was, you know, cracker dust, that sort of material.
Can you take some of that cracker dust out and put some plants along there, along the pathway?
I could. I mean, it's in the middle of the backyard going across. It's sort of the access way. But, I mean, I guess, yeah, it's just a bit strange they pick certain spots and it's not always, in the lawn, but. Some of it's in the lawn, but not all of it.
I reckon if you do little tiny group plantings of 3, like 3 small shrubs or grasses in a spot,
right,
to try and give them an alternative to where they're digging now.
Right.
So just eyeball little patches of where you can actually grow something else. And always have like a bowl of, like a very shallow dish of water there.
Leave water out? Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. All right. I used to have a dog there. I just wonder whether I put all the old dog toys out in the backyard and they might sort of think, oh.
Oh, the smell of, yeah, that
I've
could
work.
I've
got to tell you, Anthony, the Chihuahua community's upset.
Oh, no, I didn't really mean that about Chihuahuas. My friend had a Chihuahua called Barry, who was a dog of character, I have to say. I really don't, it's not.
She
honestly
does not advocate putting Chihuahuas in the house. She loves all dogs.
I just think they're the perfect size as a plug.
It was a size reference. It's not a size.
I love all dogs. I am a dog lover.
She is, I can attest. I can attest to this. And I can also attest to the fact she doesn't like to chew before 10 a.m. Anthony, have you been assisted?
Yes, I'll. When I go home, I'm just north of Esmond's working. I'll see if we can put some plants in.
You're a champion. Thanks, Anthony.
87-year-old Judith called to say that she loved the song pick. She was up and dancing around the kitchen with her egg slice as a dance partner.
Oh, Judith, love you.
An egg slice as a dance partner.
Yeah,
I love it.
I quite like that.
Somebody was asking, here it is, small tree to plant for a courtyard garden in Claremont, no more than, say, 5 metres high, says David.
Circis, Oklahoma.
Circis, how do you spell that?
C-E-R-C-I-S. It's one of my favourite trees.
Oklahoma. Okay, and so that's going to cope well in our dry and arid climate. Janet is in the Stone of Rowley. Good morning, Janet.
Jan, I was, when I was a kid at school, I was in the show called Oklahoma.
Were you Annie?
I had to sing and dance. No, it's just one of the people on the side.
Chorus girl.
Yeah, chorus girl.
I have a question on King Proteus.
Yes.
I've had this in the ground for some years now, and the flowers come on. They're the pink ones.
Yeah.
The buds have come, but this year they haven't opened. I'm just wondering if it's a deficiency in...
Probably is. I mean, your soil in Rolling Stone is actually good for proteas.
Yes.
But it still will be a bit light on trace elements. Jan, I reckon you need to get trace elements in to the soil. So you can either do it in a foliar form or you do it where you mix it in a watering can and drench the soil. Can take like 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks for the plant to uptake those nutrients. And the other thing I would do is get liquid potassium and spray the foliage with that.
Okay, sounds good.
Yep. Okay. I think it's a trace element deficiency.
It sounds like it, doesn't it? There are plenty of flowers on it, but they've just come to buds and they haven't opened.
Yeah. Yeah,
thank
I'd say.
Thank you very much,
okay.
Sabrina.
Thank you, Jan.
Thank you, Jan. And Richard would like to add to the conversation around bandicoots. What would you like to say, Richard?
Yeah, good morning, ladies. Yeah.
Richard, are you in a bucket? Where are you?
We can't hear you very well, Richard.
I just got out the bucket.
Marvellous. Right, go again.
I was planted a hedge here. I live in Bowbridge.
Yep.
I'm surrounded by bush, so no, they haven't had any food sources taken away from them.
Yep.
I decided to plant a hedge in front of my house there, and I used some lily pillies. Anyway, I planted, well, they're native. Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are.
I planted 32 out, and the next morning there was 4 left.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. So they're quite like the root system of lily pillies, clearly.
Yeah, I think so. And I have a dog that lives here, little Jack Russell.
Yeah.
I don't know if he knew they were there or didn't bother.
Well, I don't know. We're getting lots of text messages in now from people saying that they're near bushland. There's plenty of other food, but they come and eat their plants in their gardens. I reckon it's to do with water. I think it's the root system in the plants we grow in our garden are juicier. They have more nutrient in them, and they've got more water content. So I reckon it's to do with that.
It's kind of sad, really.
It's sad that they're
Someone's asking, would a foot-high fence keep a bandicoot out?
Yeah, I mean, they can climb a little bit, but not that much. Yeah, you could fence your property. But I always, you know, I'm the sort of person that would go, I would grow a lawn for bandicoots.
Yes, you are.
When I wouldn't care if they destroyed the entire amount. I'd just go, look, I've got bandicoots.
Exactly. Yeah, Chihuahua community again. Displeased. Bandicoots are also destroying our lawn in Bridgetown when they also have two paddocks to choose from. They have plenty of other places to choose, says Heather.
It's water and nutrients. They're water coming nutrients. Because the plants that you grow have a higher nutrient value and also a higher water value. And also they might just get bored in the bush. They go, oh, no, look, I've lived in that neighbourhood for years.
Give me a bit of this Sir Walter.
Yeah, I quite like the root system. And give me some of those lily pillies. I'll take those.
Give me some of those.
We are in their environment. We forget that we are not the only bloody species that deserves space in the planet.
Ooh, I can hear the rage in Placid Sabrina. Richard, thanks for calling in on that. And thanks to the rest of you. Sorry to all the texts we didn't get to. We will be back again next week for another edition of Roots and Shoots. It is our great joy to hear from men who prune too much, to be part of the Fronds with Benefits group.
Yes.
And also Corridors for Carnabies. Corridors for Carnabies, sign up.
Mm.
And while the school might not allow nuts, they'll allow Banksias. And also, as Sabrina said, you'd be a very clever 7-year-old if you could get your fangs into a macadamia nut, because cockies have beaks like, you know, bolt cutters, don't they?
Mm, they do.
Yeah. Sabrina Hahn, always a joy and a delight. Thank you.
Bye.
See you next week.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.